topics, agoda that we can take out of Parshas Vayichi. Okay, a little bit just like short things here and there. First thing is Yaakov Avinu. Yeah, we learned about it. We learned this week about the Shtar Ksuba and the Shtar Erusin. Yaakov Avinu in this week's parasha presents his two children, Ephraim and Menashe, for a bracha. And suddenly Yaakov Avinu says, "Mi elelach." Okay, he took them close, and then suddenly the Shechina departed. Vayar Yisrael Bnei Yosef Vayoymer Mi Ela. Who are these people? Vayomer Yosef Elaviv Bonaihem. What do you mean? Who are they? What do you mean? Who are they? Okay, Asher Nosan Li Elokim Boze. What's Boze? Took out of his wallet. How many people have in their wallet their ksuba and the shtar erison? Boze Vayoymar. Okay. Fine, kochem noilai v'avorechem. Rashi, everyone knows this name. It's Rashi. Rashi says here, bikeish levorcham v'nistalko shchina mimenu. So why? So Rashi tells us the real reason why. Lefi she osid yirovam v'achov lotzeis v'efrayim v'yeyu ubon of v'menashe rishoyim. Rishoyim, we're going to come forth from both Ephraim and Menashe, and male, therefore the shchina depart. V'yom mi'ele. The fact that Shechina departed means they're not deserving. Yosef said they are deserving. He showed him the shtar that he married his wife with a shtar erusin, the shtar ksuba. Ubikish Yosef, that was not enough. Rachamim aladavar v'nocha olav ruach hakodesh. Okay, there's a lot to be said in the world of Drush, which we're not going to do now. We're not here to do Drush now. Good question. Good question. Excellent question. I don't know the answer. You know, I'll just give you the generic cliche. It's not a generic answer. It's before Matan Torah, you can't ask any questions. Okay, that's not necessarily a satisfying answer, but I don't know. Okay, that's not our topic. It's not our topic. I don't want to talk about it. I don't know. Good question. It's an excellent question. I don't know the answer. Obviously, it has something to do with before Matan Torah. We'll leave with that. There's a lot of diukin. There's a lot to be said over here. I want to just talk about a little, just dwell upon some halachic and yonim. Well, not some halacha, but a little more lumnus for the moment. Then we'll move on to something else. Over here, Yaakov Avinu, when you get a big composite of what's going on over here, it would appear that Yaakov Avinu suspected that Yosef had these children out of wedlock. Because even though he doesn't say that, who are these people that are not deserving for blessing? The fact that Yosef goes and shows his father, "Look, I married this woman. Her name is Osnas Bas Botifera. And here is the Shtar Erusin. And here is the Ksuba. These children are good children. They're good. And therefore, don't." So from Yosef's answer, al derech pshat, I know you can say a lot of very beautiful amamori things. Derech pshat, there was a suspicion that Yaakov Avinu married a woman. Yosef married a non-Jewish woman. Okay, he married a non-Jewish woman because they were living in Egypt. And in Egypt, who's he going to marry? Okay, we know it was a miracle that this was the daughter, the one that he married, according to Chazal, was the daughter of Shechem. When Shechem took Dina was pregnant, and she had a child with what Shechem did to her, and that child was a disgrace for the family. So Yaakov Avinu put upon her a kameah, an amulet, and sent her down to Egypt to live. And years later, when Yosef came down, and they were looking for the raya, looking for a shidduch, this girl presented that very kameya.
She was his niece?
Yes, she was his niece, yes.
It's the honest man of zeal gives the whole thing.
He was his niece. According to halacha, you have a mitzvah to marry your niece. It's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah to marry your niece. In this case, though, the father was a goy. I mean, the yichus was not a good yichus, because Shechem, the father was Shechem. The mother was Dina, the sister of Yosef from a different mother, and it was his niece. In any event, Yosef married her.
The important thing is that it was a Jewish mother.
Correct? Okay, so, but Yaakov Avinu...
Why did they have to be Jewish? What made them?
Okay, that before Ma'an Torah, you're right, before Ma'an, who did the Shvatim marry? That's Rashi's question. Exactly, you hit the nail on the head. You hit where Mordechai said a yisoid that people don't understand about Shidduchim. He hit it, and it's not our topic over here. Is in Shidduchim, it's not what you want, it's what is available. Every single person, no matter who they are, where they are, any age, in any age, it's not, okay, I make a list. Okay, these are the qualities I'm looking for in a boy. It doesn't work like that. No matter who you are, no matter who you are, it's what is available. Who's interested in you? And the list of people that are interested in you at this moment in time when you want to get married now is a very different list than what you want. And that's interesting. You saw it, but that's not our topic. Let's go weiter. So here, Yaakov Avinu. I want to go back to it. Yaakov Avinu. One of some lumps. Yaakov Avinu over here obviously suspected he was not properly married, and the answer was, I am married. Now here's the question. The question is, if Yaakov Avinu did not marry, did not properly convert his wife. If Yosef did not properly convert his wife before he married her, there's something that's even more fundamental. What do I mean like this? The Gemara has a question. The Gemara has a very interesting question. If a person, chas v'shalom, were to hit one of his parents, were to hit his father, Torah says he's chayiv misa. A person hits his father, even curses his father, he is chayiv misas bezdin. Why? How does any person know for sure who his father is? How do you know? His mother, we know who the mother is because we can actually see it. Okay? When the mother gives birth, so the mother is not Neman. The mother is not Neman. I told you this many times. Very fasting halacha. As an example, a boy used to be the minig. It's no longer done today, but it used to be minig. The minig, this is we told many times, is that a boy who is a yosim does not have a father. He puts on tefillin when he is 12 years old. Today, this is not practiced at all, but it used to be a fact. Someone told me he remembers it to be 100% true. We met someone over here in the shul told me he remembers it. This was the minig Yisrael. A boy who does not have a father puts on tefillin when he's 12 years old.
Why?
So everyone, why? So I think the obvious reason you would say is because he's already mature. A boy who doesn't have a father has to grow up very quickly. So really a child should, there's no reason why a child should not wear tefillin when he's 6 years old. Chinuch. So why doesn't a 6-year-old child put on tefillin? Tefillin has sanctity. And a boy, until he's bar mitzvah, doesn't really behave himself so well. He doesn't know how to take care of it. So we don't let him. But a boy who doesn't have a father, he grows up very quickly, and therefore he will take care of his tefillin, therefore we let him. That's, I think, what the average person would say with right away, that's the average. But that's not the reason. That's not correct. It's not necessarily true that a boy that doesn't have a father grows up quickly. Not necessarily true. The real reason, we found this, an incredible, someone who researched this, is because not that long ago, there was no such thing as birth certificates. Records. There were no records. How do you know how old you are? A boy. One day he wakes up. He realizes, I go to yeshiva. I do mitzvahs. They're training me. When's my bar mitzvah? Dad, how old am I? When is my birthday? How do you know what your birthday is? How do you know how old you are? So ask your mother. Who says your mother is believed? Your mother has a lot of things going on in her life. She's very busy taking care of you. Who says a woman is never believed? It's an Eid Echad. Chazal do not give any nemonis to an Isha, except for an Aguna. An Aguna, what? She's not believed. Your mother is not believed to tell you how old you are. She's in Halacha. The world of Halacha, she's not believed. So who do you believe? Your father. Your father is an Eid Echad, and your father is Nemon, to tell you how old you are. So if a boy does not have a father, we have no idea how old he is. We have no idea. We don't know. So therefore, you think you're only 12 years old? You have another year? Who says? Prove it. prove it. Your mother, we don't believe. You live in a world where there are no records. The only one that can tell you when your real bar mitzvah is your father. You don't have a father? We don't know. We have no choice but to be machmir. We make an assessment. You know, Bezin can make an assessment approximately how old you are. We'll go 1 year back. L'chairo, you're going to be bar mitzvah next year, but we don't know for sure. If a person does not have a father, you're in a lot of trouble. So, now.
See, but the months of the years, they don't
believe. What?
The months.
We believe the father. No, so we make an approximation. Right, so it's a year early. So if it's a year early, so l'chairo, by the time it is really bar mitzvah, a year is, you know, we make an approximation. Now, today, no one does this. Obviously, because today, you know, everything is recorded, and there are records, and there is, you know, today it's not relevant, this type of situation, because we have just basically, you can prove beyond a shadow of a doubt how old you are, and that's why this halacha fell to the wayside. We don't follow it today, but it does illustrate a very important point, that a person, it's a big question: how do you really know basic things? So if a person hits his father, chas v'shalom, or curses or chas v'shalom his father, he's chayiv misa. How do you know? Who says, this is my father? How do you know? A woman is pregnant. A woman can become pregnant from, who doesn't, just because she lives with her husband. Doesn't, no proof who the father really is. So the Gemara asks this question. And the Gemara says an incredible chiddush. The Gemara says, we go basarayv. We go basarayv. Roiv be'ilois achar habal. Even if this woman was unfaithful and she had something to do with other men, but the reality is a woman is living with her husband, roiv be'ilois achar habal. And the Gemara says that this is such an important principle. The Gemara says this is the source. Could you believe this? The source of the principle called roiv.
Today we also have DNA.
Okay, you're right. So that makes things more complicated. You're right. You're right. I don't know how you put that all to the equation. They used to say years ago, and headlines that they're very. They used to say years ago that the DNA was not 100%. Today it's changed. Today in the books and headlines, it's a very interesting topic. Today, Rabbanim DNA basically is 100%.
They caught the killer of those four college students by DNA.
They didn't catch.
The DNA.
They didn't catch. They don't have all the
evidence. Okay, there's not a sure on DNA. DNA is a big topic. DNA, you're right. But let's talk about halacha. Chazal, there was no DNA. How do you know you go basar roiv? And Chazal say this, in fact, is the source. That in the world of halacha, you go basar roiv. Now, don't confuse this with dayanim. That's a different roiv. When you have a court, when you have a Sanhedrin, you have to make a decision in halacha what to do. So then you have different opinions, and you have a Sanhedrin of 23 dayanim, and there the pasuk says also you go basar roiv. That's when it comes to Bezdin making a decision. But what about roiv in the world of mitzius, dealing with not a matter of opinions? That's a completely different principle. You have a Sanhedrin, you have a court case, and you have some judges, their opinion is this is correct, and other judges, their opinion, that is correct. So there's a mathematical rule. We go basar roiv when we make a decision. But let's forget, that's where you're dealing with making a decision based upon different opinions, and each opinion is a valid opinion. But what about in the world of reality? What about when you have you find a piece of meat lying in the street, and there are 10 stores, and the reality is it came from one of these 10 stores, and 9 of them are selling kosher, and 1 is selling non-kosher. We go basar roiv. How do you know that? How do you know if you find a piece of meat in the street and there are 9 kosher, 1 non-kosher? The Gemara says you know it from the pasuk of Ish Kiyake Ove V'imoy, he's Chayev Misa. How do you know the person? It's this person's father. The only way you know it's his father is because you go Basar Roiv, Roiv Be'ilois Achar Habal. Now, here's the Chiddush. Is there a din Roiv by a Goy, by a non-Jew, a Gentile? For non-Jew, there are ten pieces of meat in front of the 10 pieces of meat in front of a store, and the guy now has the guy who only wants to eat kosher meat. Is the guy allowed? Is the guy eating kosher meat if there are 9 stores that sell kosher and 1 store that sells non-kosher, and the guy finds the meat in front of these 10 stores, is for the guy, if the guy only wants to eat kosher meat, la halacha? I'm making a theoretical case. It's a joke what I'm telling you.
Theoretical case is 9 kosher and 1 is 8 and a chametz. Which is now.
Ah, okay, very good. He's saying very good. Rav Dov is saying excellent. Halacha l'mayis, this is what Rabbi Felder says. Unbelievable. We have to really mind word for word what he says, but this is what it seems to come out. Yeah, a guy is not allowed to eat Eiver Min HaChai. And there are 9 stores selling kosher meat, and 1 store is selling Eiver Min HaChai. And the guy finds this piece of meat in front of these 10 stores, and he eats it. Can we say, go Basar Roiv? He's no different than a Jew. Okay, you get into the whole topic. Can there be something that's going to be usher? It's mutter for a Jew, us for a guy. Okay, it's not so simple to cop. But let's just right now fantasize for a few moments. Basically, the guy is guilty, unless it's 100%. Okay, I know we're saying might not be true, but let's just fantasize. There is no such principle of roiv. We're going to explain. We're going to limit this rule in a moment. But basically, there's no such thing as roiv by a guy. The concept of roiv is in the Torah. It is a chiddush, and it's only given to Klal Yisrael. If you think about it, the Torah is very demanding. If you find a piece of meat lying in the street, and there are 9 kosher and 1 non-kosher, what gives you the right to eat the piece of meat? What gives you the right? It might be not kosher. There's a 10% chance. If a person cares about halacha, you would not eat it. Because there's a 10% chance that the meat is treif. Why are you allowed to eat the piece of meat? Roiv. Whoever told you roiv? Who made this up? Where did this come from? So the Gemara asked the question. It comes from a pasuk in the Torah. A man hits his parents, his father. He's chayev misa. You're going to take his life? You're going to kill him? Who says it's his father? You know it's his father? You can prove it's his father? You don't know. He looks like his father. It doesn't mean anything. Doesn't mean anything. Chazal said that where a person looks like what the wife was thinking about, what a person thinks about. You don't know. You don't know anything. So how do you know? The Torah says Chayav Misa. By the Torah saying that it's Chayav Misa, is revealing that there is a principle called Roif. There is such a principle called Roif. So therefore, but that rule only applies to Klal Yisrael. It does not apply to non-Jews. So a non-Jew who finds a piece of meat in front of 10 stores, 9 are selling kosher, 1 is selling Eiver Min HaChai, it would seem, based upon this, he would be forbidden to eat that piece of meat, because by a Gentile there is no such rule as roiv. Torah was not given to goyim, and therefore you have to follow logic, and logic is there's a significant chance that it's forbidden, and that's the end. Now, it's exactly what we're coming now to. Yaakov Avinu is accusing Yosef of marrying a non-Jewish woman.
Were Rachel and Leah Jewish?
Were Rachel and Leah Jewish? Don't confuse me with the facts. Okay, let's put this off. Are you asking tough questions? Whatever it is, Yaakov Avinu is accusing Yosef. Yosef, you're in Egypt. Who did you marry here? Who's here to marry? There are no Jews here. There are only 70 souls. All the 70 souls, whatever, the 66 souls. Who did you marry here? Who did you marry? You married a non-Jewish woman. Okay, so you married a non-Jewish woman. It was no one else. What could we do? You had no one else to marry. So what's so terrible? Before modern Torah, so you married a non-Jewish woman. But wait a minute. If you married a non-Jewish woman, how do you even know that these two people standing in front of us, Ephraim and Menashe, are your children? Let's forget about Yichus. How do you know? Because your wife gave birth to them? So maybe your wife was fooling around. Oh, what are you going to tell me? Roiv be'ilois achar habal. Roiv be'ilois achar habal is a Jewish principle. It applies to you. But if your wife is not Jewish, it doesn't apply to her.
Why couldn't he say, Hatta, you wrote out this particular inscription that she is from Dina. So
okay, we're getting there. Okay, that's a medrash. Yaakov Avinu at this point in time does not know, according to the simple reading of Rashi, does not know who Yosef married. And maybe, I know there's the Medrash with the daughter of Shechem, fine, but let's put that aside for now. From the reading of Rashi, on a very simple level, it seems that Yaakov Avinu is accusing Yosef of marrying a Gentile. If he's marrying a Gentile, so what's so terrible? It's before Matan Torah. Who did the Shvatim marry? According to Rashi, Rashi says in one interpretation, they married Kenanios. They married non-Jewish women. How could they do that? Okay, it's a question. So maybe Yosef married a non-Jewish woman and the Yichus before Matan Torah follows the father. But there's a fundamental problem here. The problem is if you indeed married a non-Jewish woman and she had two children, we know for a fact that that she is their mother because you can see the baby coming out of the mother. But how do we know who the father is? Also say the principle of Roif. Since you're living with her as husband and wife, so we'll say the general principle, Roiv Be'ilois Achar Habal, you're probably the father of Ephraim and Menashe. But that rule of probability of Roiv is a Jewish principle that is set in the Torah for Jews. That does not apply to Gentiles. So since your wife is a Gentile, so maybe she had relations with other men, even if it was only a miut.
How do you know that the mother was a real mother?
No.
A, this is a guy is telling you that I
was... Are you going too far? Don't confuse me with the facts. There is a principle. There is a principle. The mother is never a suffix. The mother is the mother. Okay, you're asking good, but let's just work with the basic... Let's with the basic building point, because the truth is this is not relevant. What's relevant is I want to come to a yesoid. There's a yesoid that comes out of this at the very end. I want to come to a yesoid. There's an important halachic principle, which is very much nogei in bezdin. It's nogei in life. And it's very much comes... This is a very good way to illustrate this principle. Let's go with the basic building blocks. Yosef, I know all this sounds a little bizarre, but let's work with it for the moment. Yosef is being accused by his father for marrying a non-Jewish woman. When Yaakov Avinu says, "Mi eile loch," according to Rabbi Felder, I don't know if he's saying this in his own name or he's saying it from someone else, he's not asking, Rashi lightens. Who are these children that are your children, but are not deserving of blessing? Because the Medrash, who's going to come from them? Wicked people. According to the Pshut Shel Mikra, who are these children? Are they even your children? Who are they? You found some people in the street, and you brought them and you brought them in to me for a bracha. I should go give over to them the nitzchis of Klal Yisrael to two Egyptians. You just found, you picked up in the street some people walking around. Oh, come for a bracha. Let's go to Rav Chaim Kanievsky. You'll get a bracha. Who you find over here? You packed up in the street. What? Well, obviously they were adopted. Obviously, so materials you say. Also, I'm a gadol yosa mesech beisai kilu yolda. Okay, you're confusing with a lot of good facts, a lot of good information. But still, who are me ele doesn't just mean they're not deserving of blessing. Read the pasuk pshutu kimashmo. Are they even Jewish? Are these even Jews? Who are they? You married a non-Jew doesn't have the Torah, doesn't have the principle of Roif. If there's a 5% chance that they are from another father, then we have to take that into consideration. How do I even know that they're Jewish? To that, Yaakov responds, I was megayer her.
Yosef
responds, sorry. How do you know I was Megayer? So this he wrote, there's some building blocks over here. The Rambam says, just a general yesoid. How does a Jew get married? How does a Jew, let's talk like this. We know that the goyim were mekabel upon themselves the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. One of the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach is Arayos. If a man lives with someone else's wife, he is Chayiv Misa. Who says it's his wife? Maybe it's his girlfriend. A man lives with a woman. How in the world of halacha does a Gentile marry a woman?
He takes her
So the Rambam, so be precise. So they go to a civil ceremony, we go to a judge. Now the governor, it's the whole country turned into a joke. The whole governor just signed the law 2 days ago that to get married, you don't need a rabbi, a priest, a judge, any person from the street can officiate at him. It's an incredible zilzal.
That's you don't need a rabbi. You need somebody who knows the halachas.
Okay, it's an incredible. This is an incredible. Just as you understand what's going on in this country, just as they signed into law before they signed into law to acknowledge same gender marriage, which is a disgrace and a churban to the world beyond belief. In New York, they went even further. Even when a man, those exceptional people that still believe in marriage, a man marries a woman, you don't need an authority to get married. It used to be from time immemorial, to get married, the goyim had a concept, you need a judge, a shofet. Even though the judge is whatever he is. Now, any yukul, you go, anyone you want can be officiate. It's an incredible zilzul in the sanctity of marriage. There's a congressman today, you know, that's being signed in, as a member of the House. I'm not sure which office he's taking, but it's in the news. He's plans to sign in by putting his hand. What do you put your hand on when you become taking? You have to swear a Bible or. Whatever he said. So he's going to put his hand sign on a Superman comic book. It's in the news. He's going to bring in a Superman comic book, put his hand on it, and swear by it when he takes an oath of office. He's living in Chelm. We're living in Chelm here in this country. This is acceptable. Acceptable. Such things can be on the headline news.
States recognize this kind of
marriage? What? New York State, our governor. I can't even pronounce her name. Hatchel? Hakel? 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 Like in Hakel, Anoshim? It says Anoshim, not Noshim. Hokel. 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 I can't.
Yukel.
Okay, so. Can you imagine what's going on in this world? In any event, how does one legally, according to halacha, in the world of halacha, how does Bezin view man and woman by to be married? So we all know very well that when it comes to Jews, erisin is three ways. There's something called, it's called kesef, shtar, or bia. A man can marry away, can be 100% married to the degree with his capital punishment if he marries her in one of three ways. By giving her kesef and making a declaration, harei at mikudeshes li, with this kesef, we use a ring, betabazu, kidas, like the law of Moshe of Israel. There's another way to marry a woman, by writing a shtar. Did you ever go to a wedding where they did with shtar? Never, never. How do you write a shtar? You have to have a klaf, and you have to have dioi, and you have to have a good sofer, and you have to, and the sofer has to say, you have to say to the sofer, the sofer has to say, who am I writing this for? So it has to be a lishma. I'm writing it for this man, and for this one, they have to bring the chosin for you, and l'shem, I'm writing this piece of paper for this man, and for this woman, and he writes down on the piece of paper, hare at mikudeshes li, b'shtar, zu, kidas, Moshe v'Yisrael. You have to wait for it to dry. It'll take a good 20 minutes. They have to bring every wedding, they'll have to have a blow dryer to dry the ink, of the shtar. And then the chassan presents the shtar to the kal. You've never seen that done because it would be a nightmare to do that. Yes, it does. We're makish havaya liyitziyah. And just like Yitzias v'chosav lo sefer krisus, so to the havai the shtar kiddush has to be l'shma. On klaf dioy ksav ashuris, you need a professional sefer to write the shtar in front of you l'shma. And then you have to dry. It'll be a nightmare to do this. What's the third way? The third way is a maisa bia, where a man says to a woman, Harayat Mikudesh Asli with this whatever, and then they have Yichud in front of witnesses, and that is Prost. Rav Mangid Aman de Mekadesh Babia. Anyone that did this, any man that went and it was Mekadesh a woman with such a technique would say to the woman, I'm going to marry you with this technique, he would give them Malchus. So the only thing that we do today in order to get married is Kesef, period. That's it. A ksuba is nothing more than just, you know,
formality.
It's just other, no, not a formality. It's obligations. A ksuba is that now that we're married, I'll support you. In case of death or divorce, you'll get a nice amount of money. It's not, it doesn't have any, it's not part of the actual, a ksuba has no power. It's not what makes the marriage. Where we get married to Kesef. What about a Gentile? How does the Torah recognize the marriage of a Jew to a non-Jew? The Rambam says there's only one way, bia, an act of marital relations, l'shem marriage. That's the only way, nothing else. Going to a guy, going to a civil service, according to the Rambam, like in America, you go to a church and they have a priest, and the priest says, with the power invested in me, I hereby declare you husband and wife, right? Garnished. They're not married. According to the Rambam, if a man goes to a church ceremony, the prince, okay, you'll have a ceremony on in Buckingham Palace, in the church there, and the whole world is watching. In the world of halacha, they're not married. The marriage is a maisa bia l'shem ishus. This what? Yichud is enough. There has to be yichud. They have to both admit, according to the Rambam, that is the only way to a goy, a Gentile, can have a maisa kedusha.
They will not
marry. What do you mean they're not married?
No, because they thought they were getting married by the priest. Then when they did the
I don't think so. No, l'chor not. Once they have a priest, it's a gilui das. They want to get married, and then the next time there's a bia, they're married.
No, it is
l'shem kedushin. Once the priest already officiates, then it's a gilui das that whatever happens next is going to be l'shem. It's automatic.
L'shem?
Yeah, you have to say that.
The
Rambam, no one's going to be married. There's no good that's ever married. It's impossible. Once they have a wedding, but the wedding is not what makes the kedushin. The wedding is the gilui das that mikanu l'haba, when there's a ma'isabiyah, we're now married. That's what the Rambam says. So now, go back according over here. Go over here. So now, what is that Yosef? What is? There's a very great depth of what it's Rashi says. Rashi says he showed his father a shtar erison. Yosef married Osnas with a shtar. According to the Rambam, there is no such thing as a shtar by a goy. It doesn't work. What are you wasting Yaakov's time? It's not called the Kenyan. By showing Yaakov there is a shtar, this is a gilui that she's Jewish. She was Megayer. Because if she was not Megayer, the shtar is worthless. The bia is what makes the kedusha. The fact that he showed his father a shtar, look, here is the shtar that I'm married to this woman. That is a statement that this is a Jewish woman. If this Jewish woman, the principle of Roiv goes into play. If the principle of Roiv goes into play, Roiv be'ilois achar habal, in the world of halacha, don't say to me, mi eila, I found these children in the street and I brought them into you. Roiv! Roiv is the halachic principle. Memela, these are my children. My children. Okay, it's a whole new way of looking at Rashi.
So why did Yosef have to show the
ksuba? Oh, next point. Now we go to another Rambam.
Wait, she couldn't have been a convert.
What do you mean, convert? She was whatever it was.
How could she convert? There was nobody to confuse the...
Okay, you're confusing us with the facts. She converted. Whatever, before Matan Torah, obviously there were different standards, different rules of how you convert. The concepts are there. Before Matan Torah, all the concepts, the exact technique is a little bit different. Now, next question. Oh, so now the next question is, Okay, why the ksuba? So there's another Rambam. The Rambam says something very, very interesting. The Rambam says that a pilegesh, it's not only the Rambam, what is the difference between a pilegesh and a regular wife? The only difference is the ksuba. Now here's the difference the Rambam says. The Rambam says a child that a person has from a pilegesh, if not for the Rambam, you wouldn't say this. If not from the Rambam, you would say, no, man has a pilegesh, chas v'shalom, but it's a pilegesh. It means he has no responsibility to this woman. Man marries a woman, he gives her a harat mikudesh asli b'tabazu, there's no ksuba, which means I'm not feeding you, I'm not supporting you, and in case I decide on a whim to divorce you, you're done. You got into the street. I'm not, and there's no.
Does he have to give her a get?
Of course he has to give her a get. Of course. With a shtar erison, according to the Rambam, the only chilik between a pilegesh and a regular wife is the ksuba. The ksuba. You have to give her you just can't go live out of wedlock. That's a kodesh, kadesha. There has to be a marriage, a bond. What's the chilik? The chilik is there going to be responsibility? What is the responsibility? A ksuba. A ksuba means I will take care of you. I commit myself to support you. In case you die, I will bury you. In case we have children, the children will be taken care of. It's my responsibility to marry them off. It's my responsibility to support the children. This is all the tanaik ksuba. And in case I die first, you're going to get money before the yorshim get the money. There's a commitment. If there's no ksuba, I have no responsibility to you whatsoever. Yaakov shows his father, I also now, but the Rambam goes now. Now let's say make believe, a person today would go and marry a woman and will make a tanai. There is no ksuba. I want to marry you like a pilegesh. We'll have a nice wedding, but after we do the kedushin, we're going to make an announcement. Rabbosai, it's traditional now to call up a rav to read the ksuba. Rabbosai, we will not be doing that because this woman here is a pilegesh. Mayor, you ever go to such a wedding? Did you ever go to such a wedding in Marina Del Rey? A whole beautiful wedding? There is no one going to be called to read the ksuba because we've worked it out tonight that she will be a pilegesh. Okay, who cares? As in you and her. They go home, they get married, they have children, the children will get into brisk. According to the Rambam, the children are getting into brisk. You know why? Because they're pogum. It's a tremendous chiddush. They're pogum. If the husband, halfly of a fellow, what he says, if the husband does not commit himself to his wife with a ksuba, the children are pogum. There's something missing. Their yichus is lacking. Of course they're Jewish. What do you mean they're not Jewish? The mother's Jewish, the father's Jewish, they're Yisraelim, they can even do avoid in the Beis HaMikdash, but there's a pagam. L'may naf mean a pagam. This parsha. They're a kohen, there's not nachalolim, they're nachalolim. If he's a kohen and she's okay and he doesn't give her a ksuba, the child can do avoid in the Beis HaMikdash. L'may naf, so what's the whole nafgamina? The pogum. This parsha, Yaakov Avinu says, "Mi eile loch." The Shekhinah has departed. I can't give them a blessing. The Shekhinah is no longer. The whole nafkamin is something spiritual. They're not going to have that ruach hakodesh, that spirituality, because there's something wrong. There's a pigam. It's not a pagam of a mamzer, of a ger, I don't mean, all the different asor yuchz, elam ibovel. There's no limitation but they're lacking in their sanctity, where I cannot give them a bracha. A bracha for Ruach HaKodesh, Siat V'Shmaya, that is where it comes out, the Nafkamina. So what does Yosef do? Yosef shows his father, look, I have here a ksuba as well. So as far as your question, Mi'ela, are they even Jewish? Because if your wife is not Jewish, who says they're your children? You're a busy man, Yosef.
At that time, what was the definition of Jewish?
Commitment to Judaism. Yes. Well, you get it. It's a big topic. You're talking about a big topic. It's a very big. What you're touching upon is a big, big topic before Matan Torah with Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Okay, we can't discuss that. I don't even know it. We can't discuss that now. Right now, let's focus. Yaakov Avinu sees Yosef. Yosef is the viceroy. Yosef is leading a country that has absolutely no spirituality to it. Yosef looks like an Egyptian. He dresses like an Egyptian. He's the leader of all the Egyptian people. Who did you marry? There's no one here to marry in this country. You married a goy. If you married a goy, so that means, and you're a busy man, how do you even know that these two people are even your children? Mi eilelach. How do you even know? You can ask that question about every single person. When you have, how do you know these are your children? So what is the answer? This is a halachic principle. Roiv bi'ilois achar habal. A Gentile does not have that principle. And if there is a significant percentage, a significant chance that there were other bi'ilois that were not from the Baal, so you can no longer say these are your children. Mi'ela. Dad, they're my children. Because look what I have in my hand. I have a marriage document. If she was a Gentile, I couldn't be married to her according to halacha. Because by a Gentile, the only way you can trigger marriage is through a ma'isa bia. So the only way I can be married to her is through a shtar. And here's the shtar. That means I converted her. She has converted to Judaism. Therefore, converted to Judaism, we can now trigger the principle of Roiv bi'ilois achar habal. Okay, very good, Yosef. But where's the ksuba? If there's no commitment to her, you're a king, you know, you can have all these pilakshim, then the child is pogum. A Jewish marriage without commitment, it's okay, the child's Jewish, but it's not eligible for bracha. Dad, look what I got here. Exhibit B. I have a ksuba. Oh, kochem no elai v'avorche. Everything is very good. Okay, now here's a problem. Okay, so we've discussed a whole bunch of principles. We discussed the principle of Roi Bilo Sach Rabal. We've discussed that Goyim do not have this principle. We've discussed the concept that of a Pilegesh versus the Nesua with Bracha. But now this opens up a whole bunch of questions about. There's another parasha in the Torah called Yerusha. It's all over the Torah, Yerusha. Parashas Kiseitze, Kiel Ish Sheinoshim, Achas Ahuve Chasnua, Voya Haben Abuchor Lasnua, Vihoya, Biyoim Han Chiloi Esponov, Lo Yuchal. You're not able Levaker Esben or Ahuva. You're not allowed to change the order. Wait a minute. How do you know that the firstborn is really the firstborn? Maybe the firstborn the wife had from a different husband. That's why you hate him so much. Or that's why you hate her so much. How do you know? How the Torah says there's something called Yerusha. How do you know it's your children? How do you know? Who says? So what are you going to answer? Roiv bi'ilois achar habal. Oh, wait a minute. If you're going to need to come on to Roiv B'ilis Achar Habal, why didn't the Gemara, when the Gemara originally wanted to prove the principle of Roid Bilasachar Abal, have to go to such a rare case of Ish Yake of V'imoy, go to everyday matters? Yerusha, everyone dies, no one lives forever. And in Yerusha, the Torah tells you the Seder of Nachala of Yerusha. How do you know it's your child? How do you know? How do you know it's your child? Torah is telling you, this is Yerusha, and this is a Bechor, and there's even another. How do you know? Roy B'Lasach Abal. So why does the Gemara need to come on to prove the principle of Roy B'Lasach Abal in the case of Misa, which is very rare? Prove it from an everyday concept of Yerusha. So the Poskim say an incredible Chiddush. And this really changes the dynamics of everything. The concept of Roy, we learn from this, from the Gemara, is really, it's logical. You don't need a Pasuk. Roy is, however, there's a limit. It's a very fine point, and it's a lumdish point, and it's a very interesting point. In I imagine in the Chesha Mishpat, this has major consequences in a Chesha Mishpat in Bezdin. In the case, in the logical rule of Roiv, it's logical. That's how Hashem made this world. You have situations, there's always going to be an opposition. That's the way the world goes. There's always a chance. This. It's logical to go Basar Roiv when no one else is opposing. When there's no one else coming to challenge the Roiv. In other words, a man dies, and he leaves over money. Forget about the pachar. He leaves over there, whatever. So the son comes, and the son says, give me the money. So Beze, why should we give you the money? Who says that you're this person's father? Just because, you said your son, just because you lived in the same house, and he paid your tuition, and so on, maybe your mother was mezaneh with someone, and you're not the child of this person. You're really the child of someone else. Who says you're the son? Who says? So why should we? We'll take the money for the state. Prove DNA. No DNA test, whatever. Who says? So no, the child says. Well, excuse me, is there anyone else here in Beis Din coming forward to say that they are my father? Is there anyone here? Is there anyone here walking into court today? I'm coming here and I'm telling you, give me the money. This is my father. How do I know? How do we know it's your father? Because this is my mother, and my mother was married to this man. Okay, it's pretty good. But maybe your mother was Mizane. So the son says, maybe. But is there anyone here in court who's making that claim? Is there anyone here today who has walked into court and say, no, don't give the money to this child because he is not the son of this man. He's my son. So the answer is, when there's no one coming to oppose, there's no opposition, then it's logical to say, Roiv Be'iloi, to go Basar Roiv. I don't need a Pasuk. And that is why the Gemara did not go to prove the principles, of Roiv from the sugya of Yerusha. What was our question? Why does the Gemara have to go and try to attempt to prove the principles of Roiv from the sugya of Yerusha, from the sugya of Ish's Make of Avi'imo Mosumas? Why do we need to go to the sugya of killing someone? Why can't we prove it from in every regular daily occurrence of a person dying, he leaves over money to be Yerusha, and we award the money to the child based upon the principles of Roiv? And the answer is, the reason why we don't go to that case is because in that case, there is no one that is coming forward to challenge the roiv. Then we can be samech on the roiv. But if you're going to have a case where the person is challenging the roiv, then you have to take into consideration the possibility, the minority, that it's not true. When you're putting a person to death, a man hits chas v'sholom his parent, his father. And now what are the consequences? Mos yumos. So is there a challenge to the roiv? Is there a challenge? Of course a challenge. No one wants to be put to death. No one wants to. So there's a challenge to the roiv. Oh, so now we can't kill you. There's a 10% chance, a 1% chance that maybe this is not your father. And if it's not your father, you're not chayiv misa. So we can't kill you. To that, the Torah has to enter into the picture and say, kill him. Kill him. Because you know something? Even though someone over here is coming to challenge, the child himself is coming to challenge, or this defense attorney, or the bezin doesn't want the responsibility, the blood on their hands of killing an innocent man, even though there is a challenge to the roiv, the Torah is megale. Ignore the challenge. Go basar roiv. But this you do not say by a goy. By a goy, when there's a challenge, then you're right, you can't kill, yeah.
I think there's two things, maybe one, that are related. First of all, you sort of have a rule that you don't learn how at the moment.
Oh, okay, so he says another answer, another approach.
And a second thing is, by moment, you always have the best intention. So the rabbi can say certain things because of the logic.
Okay, so that you're touching upon, you see, you're touching upon something which it's before we get into the logic. When Bezin, you go Basaroy by Bezin, is where they have ideas, they have arguments. Before you can get into an argument, we have to first establish the facts. The facts: is this a child or not? It's not a matter of Bezin of is this a child or not? We only know that this person is this is a child because of the principle of roiv. No one's arguing with that. When Bezin argue, you could say a svar like this, you could say like the Ktsois, or you could say like the Nesivis, or like Rebbe Akiva Eger, or like a Rashba. So each person in their mind has a certain nitiya to a certain argument. But we're not up to that even. We're up to it with the reality. A person comes into court, I want the money. There's money in the account. I want the money. I am the child. Who are you? I am the child of this man. How do we know you're the child of this man? I'll tell you how you know. Because no one's going to deny that I'm the child of this woman. No one's going to deny that. And this woman, no one's going to deny, was married to this man. And now, because of the principle of Roiv Bilos Achar Habal, I'm her son. So Bezin says, okay. Is there anyone in opposition? Is there anyone here that disagrees in this room? Say your piece or whatever. Hold your peace. Is there anyone here? Is there anyone that wants to come and say that you were mezane with an HS ish and produced this person as your child? Anyone here coming to oppose that? No. So do we know as a fact that you are the child of the deceased? We do not know. The only way that we know it is through roiv. And there is no one challenging that roiv. You win, hands down. And we don't need a pasuk in the Torah to say that you win. It's a very fascinating chiddush. We don't need a pasuk. If you have a roiv and there is no challenge to the roiv, the world cannot exist if you're not going to go bust the roiv. That's the problem in America today. The problem in America today is no one is challenging the roiv. And people want to... Oh, there's a miut. There's a miut. There's 3% of the population, has to be different. Who cares about the three? There's 97% that don't live like this. And why is everyone bending backwards to accommodate the miut? Who's interested? The 3%, are even they interested in what are some of these crazy things? The way the world works is everything in this world goes bosor roif. You don't have to take into consideration the miyot. You don't. You don't. Okay, you could be very nice. You could accommodate the beautiful. You accommodate the miyot as a chesed, tremendous chesed. But when the miyot becomes the ikar, it's bizarre. The way the world works is there's a roif. There's a miyot. The miyot doesn't have any significance provided no one is coming to challenge the emes, challenge it. In the case of Yerusha, there is no challenge. A man walks in, I want the money. Should we give him the money? Is there anyone else who wants the money here? Do you see someone else here who wants the money? No, there's no one else who wants the money. But who says you're the son? Who says? There's a 1% chance that you're not the son. Well, I was married. You agree that this is my mother, and you agree that my mother was married to this person, and you there's a call, a principle called roiv, and that's enough. It's enough misvara. You don't need a Torah to tell you this, because there's no one here that's walking into court and saying, "Don't give him the money because I'm his father. I was mizane with this woman." No one's walking in to say that in court. But should Bezin release all of this money to a person when there's a 1% chance that maybe he's not the son? Yeah, that's the way the world works. But when it comes to a person who comes into Bezin, they say, you hit your father and you caused blood to come out and you were warned and we told you not to do this and you did it anyway? We're going to kill you. Wait a minute. You're not going to kill me. Who says I'm the son? Who says that what I did, you're going to take my life? You're going to take something away from me? You're going to take away my life? My opportunity to earn Olam Haba? You're going to do? Who gives you the right? You want that on your stain, on your Shefech Damim? Are you absolutely certain that I am this person's child? You're not certain. Maybe my mother was Mizana. Just because I'm her child and she was married to this man, it's Roiv. There's a small possibility that I'm not. You can't kill me. You know something? You got a good point. We're not going to kill you. Oh, you open up the Torah and the Torah says, kill him. Kill him. The Torah is mechadesh. Is mechadesh. Even when there is opposition, when there's opposition, there's a miyot, go basarayv. Who does that apply to? Only to us. The Torah only held us to higher standards. But by a goy, when by a goy there's opposition, it would be the same thing. Basically, what it would come out to be is that if there would be a halacha, that if you hit your father, if there would be such a halacha that if a goy hits his father, he's chayiv misa, you could never kill a child of a goy. Because you could never prove that a child is the child of a goy, because you have to. The only way you would know that is through roiv, and by a goy, there's no when there's a roiv that is challenged, you have to take that into consideration. Only by a Jew does the Torah say don't take it into consideration. There are two different types of roiv. There's a roiv where no one is coming to contest, and then there's a roiv where there is by nature a challenge to the roiv, and this now. Rav Heshi said, there's a more basic difference in between these examples, and that is one is money, and one is life and death. So you're going with a different angle. But your angle is going to be very limited, because then you're only going to be able to make a nafkamina when it comes to money, so we know it's circumstantial evidence. Money, hefker, bezdin hefker. When it comes to money, since bezdin anyway controls all the money, he has the power of hefker, so bezdin has much more leeway to manipulate, to maneuver when it comes to money. When it comes to life and death, oh, there bezdin has to be much more careful. So you're trying to say is when it comes to the case of roiv, by make of ve'imo, it's life and death, we have to have no choice but to take into consideration the small amount. And that's why we need a chiddush in the Torah. But when it comes to Yerush, it's money. So money is money. Money, we can be more lenient. We can go bust the roif. Okay, that's a very nice svara. But let's say you can have an example of a miut of a miut that is that's not life and death of money, and there is a challenge.
All I'm saying is that's why you have to learn it out from the pasuk of life and death, and not from the pasuk by Yerusha. That's what.
Because Yerusha is money. But the problem is money. But the problem is there are in a case of you're limiting, because what's going to happen in a case of money, where there is going to be a challenge. So then you can't compare it to Yerusha, because Yerusha is where there is no challenge. In the case of Yerusha of the Torah, there's no challenge. Let's say you'll have a situation where Taka, someone walks into Bezdin and says he's not the child. He is not.
It's not my brother.
It's not my brother. A person walks in and says, "I was mezana with this woman, and I'm the father, and therefore don't give the money to him. Don't give him the money. Let the other siblings get a larger chalak." So if you would learn, so you couldn't. Then you can't learn. That's not the case of the Torah. The case of the Torah of Yerusha would be a normal case. So now that we learn, that's the Chiddush. So now that we learn from Maki of V'imoy Mos Yumos, even the halacha will now be that even if a man walks into court and says, don't give him the Yerusha, let the other siblings get a bigger chelik because this is my child. I was mezana with her. Sir, we don't care what you have to say. We don't care you.
But isn't there a call against the
Okay, I'm not familiar with the details. But if we're going to only learn, if we're going to totally ignore the case of Mak Avim, and we're only going to focus on Yerusha, L'cho'ayra, we're limited to a normal case. And what would then be in the case when a person says, I'm the father? We would listen. Because that's not a Komash Milan. Now that we learn from the case of Misa, you go Bosaroiv no matter what. No matter what. We're going to kill a person. We're going to take his life because of Roiv. So certainly, we're going to give the Yerusha to him because of Roiv. The case of learning from Mak of Imo is a much more powerful, encompassing case. It coils everything. Because if you're only going to learn from money, you're going to say money is limited. In this, the case of money of Yerusha, no one is posing a challenge. Now here in our case, we have that issue here as well. Because of Yaakovin over here, what is he coming to do? He's coming to give a bracha. He's coming to give over the nitzchis of Klal Yisrael. So you're coming to give over the nitzchis of Klal Yisrael. He says to Yosef, who is this? Who are these children? They're my children. What do you mean? What do you mean? They're your children. They're your children, because. But if you marry to this woman, we just concluded now. If you marry to this woman, this woman. Let's say that she's not Jewish. It's not so far-fetched to say that. So Yosef married a non-Jewish woman. Okay, it's not so far-fetched to say that. Before Matan Torah, what did the Shvatim do? They were married, or they just took a non-Jewish woman? Not so simple. Yosef is here, and Yosef says to his father, here are my children, give them a bracha. Father says, are they your children? Of course they're my children. Why are they my children? I married this woman. But she's a goy. You married a goy. And a goy does not have the principle of roif. Wait a minute. A goy does have a principle of roif. We're going now back. As long as there is no challenge. We find this whole concept. Don't say a goy has no roif. It's ridiculous. There's a principle of roif that is misvara. I married this woman. Make believe, let's assume, she's not Jewish. She's not, I married a non-Jewish woman. What's so terrible? Before Matan Torah. And these are my children. Yeah, how do you know they're your children? Maybe she was mezana with someone else. Maybe you're right. but they're definitely her children. And I'm married to her. So there's a roif. Do you see anyone here walking in the street and telling you that Ephraim and Manasseh are their children? No. So they're my children. So what are you telling me, Ayla? How dare you tell me they're not my children? I married a guy. Chas v'shalom, you married a guy. And we go bust a roif. This is a roif, a universal roif. Yaakov says you're right. It's a universal roif, but the universal roif is only when no one is presenting a challenge. I'm giving the brochois of the nitzchis of Klal Yisrael. All of your brothers are presenting that challenge. Are your children deserving to get the Bechorah, the Pishnayim? All of your brothers, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, Zvulun, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, Asher, they also want it. So, Ein Achinami, these are taka your children. Make believe you taka married a guy. And a guy taka doesn't have the special roiv, but it has the basic roiv, the universal roiv, as long as there is no challenge. So therefore, taka, they're your children. But there is a challenge in this case, because I'm giving over the nitzchis of Klal Yisrael. And the nitzchis of Klal Yisrael for a woman who's a goya, she doesn't have a roiv when there is a challenge. And here we have a very big challenge. Therefore, I have no choice but, so Yosef says, guess what, good news. Here's my shtar erisin. I'm married to her, she was megayer. Memela, she doesn't just get a roiv, a universal roiv. She gets a halachic roiv, which gives her a 100%, these are my children. Because the halachic roiv establishes even against the challenge, and now I can give the brachas. It's a lom shavart, but we take out of it a very nice yisoid. And this is Bezdin. They'll go to Bezdin. Bezdin deals with this all the time. People go and they want things, and should we do it? You go bust a roif. Is there a challenge? Is there a challenge? I mean, there are times when you apply minatari. There are svaris like this. If there's no challenge, you go with it. If there's a challenge, it's a different story. Then the dynamics change. Of course, you know the Torah says you go bust a roif no matter what. But I'm sure there are nafkaminas in different types of situations where this concept plays out. Okay, Rabbi Sai.
Amen.